happy, we'll be happy over there. We will shout and sing God's praises. Everybody will be happy over there. Shall soon glory share, where the souls of men shall enter and live on forevermore. Everybody will be happy over there. Everybody
will be happy.
Oh, will be happy
over there.
Oh, now we will shout.
How many of you know you're going to a land that's going to be taking place? Well, we may as well get rehearsed up while we're here, hadn't we? Praise the Lord. Let's look at our prayer request tonight. If you'll stand with me for a few minutes, Sister Shirley Robbins, not feeling well tonight. I want to remember her as we pray. I want to pray for Brother Howard Collins, suffering from a lot of congestion, not feeling well. Let's pray for his healing tonight. This was sent to the library. My daughter, Erica Ritchie, is having thyroid problems. They did some blood work last week. Please pray that her results will be okay. I know God can do anything. I truly believe in prayer. So we just commit that need unto the Lord tonight. I hope I get this name right. Barbara and Gilbert Lear. I don't know if that's even close to being right. But anyway, they're from New Zealand. They asked for prayer for their daughter. She has had a stroke. So we certainly want to pray for that need, that the Lord would be mindful of that situation. Here's a prayer request for a Janet Underwood who had knee surgery, is suffering from infection, so we want to pray that the Lord would be mindful of her tonight. Family requests prayer for problems with alcohol and drugs. God is able to move on that behalf. What is committed unto the Lord. Sister Barron wants to offer this testimony. She thanks the Lord for moving in an unspoken prayer request that she turned in. The Lord has done great things in her neighborhood, and she wants to praise the Lord for that. So we just thank God for that tonight. Please pray for Eliza Davis. She is sick tonight and needs a touch from the Lord. Brother Sam Wyko sends us in to please pray for a 9-year-old girl named Brittany. She's having problems with some of her heart chambers. She loves to read her Bible and believes in prayer, so we just commit that need unto the Lord tonight. You have an unspoken prayer request, something you'd like for this group to pray about. Brother David, come tonight. Let's invite the presence of our Lord into the service. Take these needs to our Heavenly Father. Bless you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Of our hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the great privilege of being able to come tonight. Lord, we don't want to just believe for small things, but we heard your prophet say today that when we ask, ask abundantly. Lord, we pray that you move upon each one of these that are sick tonight. Lord, for those that are down, we pray that you lift them up, Lord. Those that was, Lord, that was mentioned, that was hung up on drugs or alcohol. Lord, we know that you've come to set the captives free. We believe that you're able tonight. May you move on that individual. Touch them tonight. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we've come to receive something from the Word of God tonight. I pray, Lord, may you bring every spirit under your control tonight. May there be liberty among us. May we run the enemy from the building tonight, Lord. And when we leave here, may we leave here with victory, each one that's come. We claim it now, and we believe it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you'll come tonight, we'll receive the evening offering. you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting here with us tonight in this service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have all of you here, all of our brothers and sisters from around the world that's streaming the service tonight. May God richly bless you folks as well. Let me make just a couple of announcements while they're receiving your offering tonight. I do want to mention that Sister Geraldine Yance, her sister passed away this past week from over in Hickory, North Carolina. So let's remember that family as we go on through this service and this weekend, that the Lord would just be mindful unto them. Sister Rachel Ward wants you to know that the Happy Valley Church Cookbook Volume 2 is in process. Recipe forms are in the library. Turn in as many recipes as you want. Thanks in advance to the library crew for helping us with this. So that's one announcement. Now, as you know, this coming Wednesday, next Saturday, and next Sunday, there will not be any services here because of the carpeting and the refurbishing of our pews. I'm going to be doing some work here in the auditorium. So there will not be any service here on Wednesday night, Saturday night, or Sunday morning. But now, there is still items that you have not removed from the back of the pew. If you have something, you have tonight and in the morning to get those items. Please take them with you. If you don't, if you just see something, especially tomorrow morning, if it's not yours, get it anyway. Take it to the fellowship hall. They can claim it over there. But let's clean up, because somebody's going to have to get it all out. And it's not right for Brother Jimmy and the crew from the library to have do that. So if it don't belong to you and somebody's left it here, get it and take it to the fellowship hall. And if you like it good enough, you have my permission to keep it. We give you ample warning to get your stuff out of the backs of the pews. All right? You may be sad here tonight, but you're going to be happy over yonder. Let's sing a little bit more of it, brothers, if you will. Oh, everybody will be happy, will be happy over there. We will shout and sing God's praises. Everybody will be happy over there. Mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers will be singing round the throne. In that land where no one ever knows a care. And the Christians of all ages will join in that triumph song. Everybody will be happy over there. The burdens there will be for us to bear. All the people will be singing, glory, glory to the Lamb. Everybody will be happy over there.
One who saved us.
Hallelujah.
And who kept us in Laodicea,
yes,
kept us by his grace,
by his amazing grace,
and who brought us to that land.
Hallelujah.
Beautiful land, so bright and fair.
Hallelujah.
And we'll get to praise.
Yes, we will.
We'll get to praise
His name
forever, and to look upon His face. Everybody will be happy over there.
Somebody say, praise the Lord. Well, everybody will be happy.
Will be happy.
Over there, we will shout faith and hope and love. I got more than my share. I'll be moving to the mansion just over in glory, where I'm a rightful heir. I'm rich in faith, hope and love. I got more than my share. Stand amazed when I see his face, knowing that I'm his son.
Well, I'm rich in faith, hope and love. I got more than I share. I'll be moving to the mansion just over in glory, where I'm a rightful heir.
Got a guardian angel watching me. He's with me. Just a simple prayer.
You're rich in faith, hope and love. You got more than your share.
I'll be moving to my mansion just over in glory. Hallelujah, I'm a billionaire.
You're rich in faith, hope and love. I got more than my share.
Have a praise. You love him with all your heart tonight. Amen. Let's sing this just before we change the order of the service tonight. What a privileged people we are tonight to get to come into the sanctuary of the Lord and worship him in spirit and in truth. We'll never realize it on this side just how much God really loves us to grant us these privileges and these opportunities. We are a blessed congregation. You are a blessed people. We are a blessed people. Aren't you glad about it tonight? Give the Lord another big hand clap of praise.
In prisoner's chains.
Let's sing with all of our heart in that church.
With bleeding stripes. Paul and Silas pray. That night, and in their pain, began to sing.
Hallelujah.
Their chains were loosed, and they were free.
Now let's participate in this chorus, church. I bless your name, I bless your name, I give you honor, I give you praise,
you are the light, the truth. Some midnight hour, if you should find you're in a prison in your mind, reach out and praise, defy.
Hallelujah.
And they will fall.
Oh, you're all awesome. this second verse again.
Midnight hour, if you should find you're in a prison in your mind.
Yes, Lord.
Reach out and
say hallelujah. Give him another big hand clap of praise. Oh, blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord.
All right, Brother Harry. I heard a song that Brother Harry's been singing for us. Son, you can be seated tonight. And I called him today and asked him if he would either do it tonight or in the morning. So we'll want him to do it, Lord willing, in the morning. Brother Jackie Benton's here tonight. Jackie don't get to be with us all the time, but when he's here, we just like to, well, he's just a blessing to everybody that's around him. We sure appreciate the ministry that preaches out from under the canopy of this ministry here. And I think they do a wonderful job. I really do. Let's pray for Brother Jackie tonight. Give him one more big hand clap as he comes to sing for you tonight.
Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. We'll sing this song. Brother Harry can help me, and he can do a much better job than, but it's my testimony tonight. I'm glad he found me. Hallelujah. Amen. I was on the mountain, wandering from the fountain, when I heard my Savior speak to me. Oh, come to me, relenting of your sins, repenting, and I will lead you out where you can see. Oh, I'm so glad he found me. With love he bound me, put his arms around me, and he led me to the shelter. Now I'm one of his own, and the joy of knowing with hearts of gold, someday I'm going, oh, to my home in glory, and walk on streets are paved with gold. Oh, I'm gonna love him ever and pray for him no never, for he's the dearest friend I ever knew. And when I
see him yonder, my love will still grow fonder. For in that happy home beyond the blue. Amen. Glory. Oh, I'm so glad he found me. With love he found me. Put his arms around me. And he led me. Oh, to the shelter. Oh, now I'm one of his own. And oh, the joy. With hearts all glowing, someday I'm going up to my home in glory. I walk up streets of Paris old. Sing it again. Oh, I'm, are you glad? Are you glad he found you tonight? Hallelujah. Put his arms around me, and he led me up to a shelter, and now I'm one of his own. And oh, the joy of knowing, with hearts all glowing, someday I'm going. My home in glory, I walk on streets all paved with gold. Oh, I will love him ever and stray from him, no, never. For he's the dearest friend I ever knew. Oh, when I see him yonder, my love will still grow fonder. In that happy home beyond the blue. Sing it. Oh, I'm so glad he found me. With love he found me. Put his arms around me. And he led me. Oh, to a shelter. Oh, now I'm one of. And oh, the joy of knowing, with hearts all going, someday I'm going, oh, to my home in glory. I walk the streets all paved with gold. Amen. God bless you.
The Lord. Isn't it wonderful to be found tonight? Amen. For those of us that were lost, which was all of us, to be found is a wonderful thing. Knowing that once we're really found by Him, we'll never be lost again. Amen. Let's turn to the book of Proverbs, if you would, chapter 16. Actually, brothers, I put the beginning of the scripture on verse 23, but let's back up and look at verse 21 as well, if you would. Proverbs 16:21. I'm sure you're convinced by now that the words that we say and what we think and the value of what comes from our heart is very, very important. And I want to speak to you tonight on saying the right things. Proverbs 16:21. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. The sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it. Understanding is a wellspring of life. You mean understanding can be that valuable. Amen. Understanding the truth and understanding things about God. It's a wellspring to him that has it. but the instruction of fools is folly. Now listen to verse 23. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. How is that possible? The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Amen. Are words really that strong? Are words really that powerful? That pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health? Actually, words can bring health. What if the right words can bring health, then what about the wrong words? They bring sickness, I guess, don't they? Defeat, downheartedness, all these other things. Listen to this again, verse 23 and 24. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Let's bow our heads together. Ask God's blessings on the word. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful tonight for your great word. Truly, Lord, we believe the things that we have heard. We know that these words are not just conjectures of man. They're not something that have been brought together by theologians to try to make something sensible and something profound and pronounced. But we believe what we've read tonight are your words. We believe, Father God, that you've given us these words, that it would be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It would give us and teach us the way that we can live a more fruitful, overcoming life. I pray tonight, Father, that you take your word, speak to our hearts. Anoint me, Lord, help me to get out of the way. Help the people that they likewise might be anointed, that we can receive something of eternal value out of this service tonight. Granted, I pray, Father, in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Let's continue to read, if you don't mind. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 2. Let's lay a little bit of a scriptural foundation. Now, remember, our thought tonight is saying the right things. Now, you know, the positive attitude and positive preaching and positive speaking and things like that's been around for a long, long time. And we certainly are not the founder of such things. Brother Branham wasn't the founder of many of the things that we believe in the message, because Brother Branham was sent to gather the loose ends. If you study Adam Clark, John Wesley, if you study many of the men that have lived in the 1600s, 1700s, 1800s, I've been privileged to be in Brother Branham's study. Out in Tucson, picked up his books and seen different things that he would highlight and underline. And you go through the message and you'll find many of those things right inside the message of the hour. Now that stumbles many people, but it's simply because they don't understand what he was sent to do. He was not sent to originate, father, or begin many of the things that we believe. He was sent to reestablish truths that had been lost down through the ages. So as far as positive thinking and saying the right thing, that's been around for a long time. But for many people and preachers who have pushed that sort of thing, many of them, they project it without a new birth. And it will always produce a carnal, natural side or a psychological side of the word, which can never produce spiritual reality. Now, it might get you more things. It might actually get you a bigger house and a nicer car and all that, because there's natural laws of God that you don't even have to be saved to get the benefit of. There's all kinds of folks that own corporations and companies, and they give to religious works, and you know what? God will bless them, but they're not even saved. They're not even Christians, but they fell into a principle and broke into a principle of God, give and it shall be given unto you. He didn't say if you're a Christian. He just said give and it shall be given unto you. But we don't want just the psychological side. We don't want just the positive thinking side that produces more things in life. Most of us have got too many things already. But we need more of God, more of His character, and more of His love. So I don't want us to get in our mind to think, well, you know, by doing this and applying this to my life, man, I'm going to tear down my barns and build bigger. You're reading the wrong parable. That guy went to hell. We don't want to go to hell. We want to get out of this place. So it's not about how much more things that we can get and how much more possessions and how much more you leave your kids so they can fight for whenever you're gone. But it's being able to be a better Christian, more completely surrendered to the will of God and doing what God wants us to do. But yet there's many people who've been able to break into this and have a principle of God. It works the same way as it does the divine healing. I've seen miracle after miracle after miracle before I ever come to this message. As a matter of fact, I've seen many more miracles in Pentecost than I've ever seen in any message church since I've been in it. But yet it was not that you needed them miracles to make you believe God, because I saw the miracles, so it wasn't that I was looking for. It was more truths. But yet, were they able to break into miracles? They were. Were they able to take that part of the Word and make that part of the Word live? Yes. Even women preachers could. Women who wasn't even called to preach, yet they could perform signs and wonders and miracles more than most message men preachers that I've ever dealt with in my life. But yet, does that mean that they make all the Word live? No, only that one part. But we want to be able to take the Word as it comes in this day, not just for signs and wonders and miracles. I don't want to just take part of it and make it live. I want to take the whole thing that's allocated to us at this age. Don't you? That's the kind of Christian that I don't want to be. I don't want to take just up, they'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And then people I pray for, they get well and they say, see there, that proves I'm a word-born Christian because I pray for the sick and they get well. No, it don't prove anything at all. It proves that I've been able to break into at least that one principle and understand that one principle. I don't want to just understand one part. I want to understand everything that's required to make a rapture, which is God sent a prophet. Yes, that's true. It's lay hands on the sick. That's right. It's that too. But it's also they'll live right. They'll do right. They'll be godly. They'll be so much like Christ. They'll submit so much to the devil, to the hand of God, that the devil will run from them when he sees them coming. Now we're talking about bride material. But you see, for many people, they're so satisfied once they break into understanding a few principles of God and they're able to make those things happen. They say, wow, look at my life. It's so fruitful. Yeah, you're really fruitful if you just want to bring forth apples. But what about peaches and maters and taters and broccoli and asparagus, all the rest of these things in the garden of God? I don't want to just be an apple tree person. I want to be the whole thing. I want to be a gardener, don't you? I want to be everything that God wants for me to be. Now, I want you to notice here, Solomon was certainly inspired, and there was no man in the Old Testament that was quite inspired like him in understanding the terminology or words, even the understanding of fools and how they thought, and the ignorant how they thought, and the wise how they thought. And he would commonly contrast the fool and the wise back and forth and back and forth. And God was really gifted him to look at this. Look at in Proverbs chapter 6 verse 2. Thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Now look at how he describes this. Thou art snared. Now look at what this is. To lure, entice, lay a snare or set a trap. To be ensnared, to be caught by bait. Now isn't it amazing that most of you brothers, if you've seen a woman dressed up like a Jezebel and dressed up real sexually, or you sisters seen something that really enticed and bothered you, you say, you stinking devil, you get away from me. But isn't it amazing that Solomon said, you're actually also ensnared by your own words. Enticing you. A snare, an entrapment by your own mouth. Well, glory. Now, there's a few words I would like to hear in this service tonight, and one of them is, amen. Now, watch this. Thou art snare to entice. Can you believe your own words out of your mouth lay a snare for you? And your words entice you to fall into that snare. Thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken. Now notice what the words will do.
They will set up a snare. They will set up an entrapment. And then look at the meaning of the word taken, which is to capture, to take, seize, to be caught of men in a trap or a snare. So your words lay the trap, and then your words catch you. And there you are entrapped and imprisoned by your own words. How many times have every one of us sitting here that's been saved very long at all have been a captive to our own negative testimony? Our own negative words, our own unbelief, and my, we spew out of our mouths. Come on, church. My. Notice this again in Proverbs 17:27. He that hath knowledge spareth his words. Now, I know that many folks believe if you think it, you should say it. And I would like chapter and verse for that in the Bible. My Bible teaches me the exact opposite of such trash. And that's what that is. Trash from hell. Well, praise the Lord. He that hath knowledge spareth to withhold, restrain, hold back, keep in check, refrain his words. So you mean his words are formed. His words are in his mind, and they are there to say. But he that hath knowledge don't say everything that he thinks. As a matter of fact, you'll find that's the way of fools. Well, glory. I said the amen word's going to be sparse here tonight. He that hath knowledge spareth his words. A man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Proverbs 29:20. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words, real fast to say them? There is more hope of a fool than of him. Oh my goodness. Just somebody that runs off at the mouth, hasty with the words, and don't think about what they say and deal with the consequences later. There's more hope of a fool than that man or woman. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 2. Be not rash with thy mouth. And the word rash is hurry, to be anxious, to be in haste, to act hastily. So be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon the earth. Therefore, let thy words... Say it with me. Be few. Well, I guess we can all stand and go home. If we got these scriptures right here, we'd be more than conquerors. Don't think about cigarettes. Don't think about alcohol, but think about conquering you. You. Now think, a man that is rash, a man that will, a woman that will speak and hurriedly and say things. Let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven and thou upon the earth. Therefore let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of busyness, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. By multitude. In other words, a fool says a big lot of stuff. And that's the way they are known. Now, then if we would begin by the help and the grace of God to watch not only what we say, but how much we say, and to find the season of what we say. Can you imagine that much of our victory. And much of what we go through and much of what we deal with is within our own power. I want you to listen to me carefully. Do you understand, as a child of God, Satan cannot make you do one thing. I want you to listen to me. Satan cannot make you do one thing. If you could get this tonight, friend, your life will never be the same. He can tempt you. He can aggravate you. He can do all kinds of things, but he cannot make you do. Oh, people said the devil made me do it. That is a lie. You have a soul. In that soul is free moral agency, and the devil does not have power over that. Do you understand? Even Almighty God will not make you do something you don't want to do. If you don't want to go to heaven, he won't make you. If you don't want to live right, he won't make you. Oh, I'll tell you, when the Lord revealed that to me this week, I had a spell to think about that Satan does not have the power to make me do anything. If I don't want to go to hell, he can't make me. If I don't want to lose victory, he can't make me. If I don't want to do wrong, he can't make me. But if I want to do wrong, God won't make me do right. If I don't want to do what's right, God won't make me do it. It's based on what choice. Now watch, as Brother Branham deals with this about confession and saying the right things. God can only save you as you testify. He can only heal you as you testify. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father tonight to make intercession upon your profession. It isn't how loud you cry or how hard you beat the altar, how many good deeds you do. It's your faith that saves you. And if you confess it with your lips coming from your heart, he goes to work as a high priest sitting at the right hand of the Father to make intercessions upon your confession. But you've got to say the right things. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 3:1, he cannot do one thing for you until you first believe it and accept it and confess it to be so. And the people today, they go out and say, well, I felt better last night, but today I'm so bad I can't hardly stand it. That's just exactly when you lose your confession and you drop right down. Why? Your words snared you. Your words connected with your feelings. Remember the well-worn path? Oh my. Listen to this statement, friends. No matter who you are, how saintly, how godly you are, you're a minister, a clergyman, or you're a deacon or whatever you are, and you've been a Christian for 50 years. If you go out of here tomorrow and lose faith that you're a Christian and start telling people you're not a Christian anymore, you're backslid. You're gone. Now all you've done is just started saying it here because the words of your mouth are ensnaring you. And it's connecting with something down in your heart. I'm not saved anymore. I'm not a Christian anymore. God don't love me anymore. And you are gone. You may not have done one thing wrong yet, but you've done terrible wrong right here. Only by your confession can you be saved. That's the most powerful weapon that God ever put in the hand of man, is a committal. And the confession. Do you mean it's stronger than the tapes? It's stronger than going to church? It's stronger than just, oh, I believe. You mean the most powerful weapon that God put in the hands of man is a committal and a confession. Did you see why Satan wants us anointed with doubt and unbelief and negativity? Oh, thank God. It'll do it every time if you'll believe it. Accept it on those basis and believe it and stay with it. Keep confessing. I'll tell you one thing. I have heard so many testimonies by people telling me by voice, by email, by letter already of things that God is doing in the lives of people. I say, keep doing it, Lord. I say, Lord, keep doing it. You know one thing I've enjoyed hearing? It's not just what God is doing for individuals in the church, but people at their office, people around them seeing a difference. People that they meet wherever and say, what's the matter with you? I notice there's something different about you. What is
is it? The Word in action. So it's not just you and your little corner of the house, your little corner of the world, but the Lord Jesus living inside of you, making you a more fruitful Christian.
This morning early before daylight, I was awakened by my Father. And I heard Him say these words to me. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate both day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Glory to God. He shall bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Oh my, lay down till after daylight. And I kept hearing that over and over and over again. I thought, Lord, is there something in that you want me to see? Is there something in that, Lord, you want me to see? Well, once I got up and I started studying that, I found out there was. There's something in there. Oh, hallelujah. Don't you love it when Father comes near you and He brings the wellspring of words, the wellspring of life. Let's remind ourselves now of the law of repetition before we go into some more of our affirmations. Repetition is the secret to developing a powerful belief. And oh yeah, just in case you're wondering, I finished the entire New Testament this past week. From Matthew 1:1 to Revelation 21. Every verse of the New Testament. Searching for gold. You know what? I even looked at the genealogies. I thought there might be something hid there too. And when I got done and I looked at all of these things, you know what overwhelmed me? I thought, Lord, with the ones I found, how many more did I miss? How many more are there that maybe now, 2013 is not the time, but maybe the next year or the next year if you tarry, because we have an eternal word, an eternal fountain. If we're here another 50 years, men of God will still be preaching this word. Folks will still be excited. Folks will still be living a godly life. Watch this. Repetition is the secret to developing a powerful belief, and the more powerful your belief, the more powerful your results will be, negative or positive. All changes in your beliefs, especially limiting beliefs, take place upon the application of the law of repetition. Until you make the changes at the subconscious level. Amen. You see, many of the commentators, and they take the verse out of the book of Matthew. What if any two on earth agree as touching anything? They say it's not two people, but it's the two of you. Your first conscience and your subconscious. If any two on earth agree as touching one thing, it will be done. Do you realize me and you and you and you and you, we could all say, oh, we all believe together. But if the two of us don't believe, we're not really believing together. But if any two of us, if any two of us can believe, you can have whatever you ask in my name. Hitherto you've asked nothing in my name, but ask that your joy might be full. Hallelujah. Your deep subconscious is the very place where change happens. When you have a better understanding of the brain's inner workings, the subconscious, you stand a better chance to develop a skill set or change a belief system that can enable you to make lasting changes in your brain. Like you thinking you're worthless. You're no good. God don't love you. The church don't love you. Nobody needs me. Nobody misses me. That's a well-worn path some of you trod for years. You want to get out of it, or you want to go that same way? I tried to preach this Sunday before last. One of the brothers come to me and was telling me he was in the military, and they had warned him over and over and over again: don't go the well-worn path. They'll be trapped. You get killed. And one of the men who trained him and trained many others, one day at a platoon or whatever it was, got down in the needed men, the needed recruits fast. And this very man who taught all of those men, don't do it, don't do it, in a hurry headed out. The first one leading them tripped a wire, blowed himself to pieces. He knew better, but in a hurry, he went the well-worn path.
It's easy for us to go down the well-worn path of defeat, the well-worn path of sickness. Well, I'm a Reagan. It always happens to me.
Or you can be just as bad the other way. You can have so much pride and so much elevation. Well, I'm a Reagan. So what? That's the more saying you're a hog. True.
None of us by birth, by money, by any other thing have one thing above another servant of God on the earth. Our gifts come from our Heavenly Father and we should never forget that. But remember, it's easy to go down the well-worn path. And what does it produce? Traps, ensnarement. Oh my. Like a person finding a well-worn path through a meadow. Each thought, feeling, and behavior is associated with a path through your brain. Would you choose to take the established path? Or would plow through the field to create a new one? Most people would choose the path already there, which we've done since we were kids, many of us. That's why we haven't really gone on with God. And we just keep on and on and on and on and get up so high and it's like we slump right back down. Then we get up so high and slump right back down. Get out your machete. Get out your machete and your axe, because here we go. It ain't going to be easy. There'll be vines in our way. There'll be briars in our way. There'll be brambles in our way. But we want to connect neurons and we want to have a new belief system. That we are loved, we are cared for, we have value in the eyes of God.
Hallelujah. Can't you see, friend, what Satan does? When you get that well-worn path in your mind, you'll read scriptures. And them scriptures will come down that well-worn path. Many people take the example of the woman in the Bible coming to Jesus and saying, the dogs eat of the crumbs. And their well-worn path of negativity will take that scripture and pull that scripture right over into their well-worn paths. And then they feel justified in calling themselves a dog. Come on now, why? Because the well-worn path, so established, so when they hear tapes, when they hear quotes read, when they hear scriptures read, they'll set through the well-worn path and they'll divide the sermon and they'll pull according to their paths. They'll pull according to what is well-worn in their life and that's what they get out of that service. I don't mind telling you, I ain't no dog tonight. Remember, this woman said this before children of God was ever born. Nobody hadn't been born again. There ain't no Christian dogs. There ain't no son of God dogs and no daughter of God dogs. Come on, children. We are not dogs. I don't have to come to God as a dog begging. I am a son. I can come before the throne of God with boldness, not like a dog. I'm not coming to my Father licking his hand under the table and begging him for something. I'm sitting right up at the table with him. Hallelujah! I'm sitting at the table with the King. But you see the well-worn path in people's minds. They read those things and they submit themselves and they imagine themselves as a dog. Jesus. Jesus. I'm not worthy. I ain't no good. I'm an old low down sorry dog. Just give me a crumb. Give me a crumb. Don't misunderstand me. I don't want a crumb. I want a plateful. Some of you want crumbs. And you get crumbs of healing. Well, I enjoy my plate full of health. Is it coming from the same loaf? It is. Just more of it. Come on now. Oh, don't you get sick? I do. But I ain't going to stay there by God's grace. Some of you just sat on the table. You're right on the table. You sit there and wag your little tail. Well, Fido, you need to go to the doghouse and get out of the church house. Because this ain't a doghouse. This is where sons and daughters of God meet.
We're not here to feed crumbs. We're here to set plates. We want knives and forks and butter knives. Hallelujah! We want to set up here at the table and put our elbows on the table and eat like children of God. Not no dogs.
You see what I'm saying, friends? The well-worn path of who we think we are and what we think we deserve. So there's those other children of God at the table. You're down there feeling sorry for yourself, licking your wounds, wagging your tail, trying to be friendly. Oh, come on. Some of you is as much a son or daughter of God as I am. You're as much a son or daughter of God as Brother Branham ever was.
Quit acting the part of a hypocrite. Do you know if you're a daughter of God and you're laying under the table, you're acting a part of a hypocrite? You don't belong down on that table eating out of a dog bowl. You need to be up beside me and the rest of these sons and daughters of God.
But the well-worn path leads you down the Fido trail. I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy. They don't need me in church. Nobody loves me in church. I'm going to take that collar off you. And I'm going to hold your picture up in the mirror, and I'm going to let you see how foolish you look. Because you ain't going to see a long, wet nose. You're going to see the rosy red cheeks of a daughter of God. Or you're going to see a well-groomed son of God when you're looking to see some kind of Doberman Pinscher or some German Shepherd or Rottweiler, whatever you think you are. Some of you probably think you're a pit bull. You're right on the very bottom of it. But whenever I hold up by God's help the picture and you look at yourself and you'll say, I'm not a dog. I'm not a low-down scoundrel. I'm a son or daughter of God. You know what it'll help you to do? Get off of that floor and get your attitude out of the gutter and set up at the table with the rest of us. Hallelujah!
Oh my! The flow of energy through the brain tends to go through the established paths and circuits, which is partly makes our minds appear stable and predictable. Recent research by neuroscientists has confirmed that repetition is an important part of wiring the brain. The term wiring refers to the forming of synapses between the brain cells. Once wired together, the synapses fire together, strengthening and reinforcing their function.
I'm going to say this word so much that my brain has a storm. Don't you?
I don't want it just to be in my soul. I want it to be when any two of us agree on earth. Without this repetition and use, the brain figures the synapses are dead and prunes them away.
Can't you imagine folks who hear the word and they don't never think about it during the week. They don't ever talk about it. And then they come back next week unless they go to Dollywood or unless they do something or another. And then they miss another weekend and then another weekend. And then they come back and they've been to church, you know, however often that it's been. And then their brain is looking at all this information that's there and is considering it dead. Because they don't talk about it. They don't think about it. They don't meditate on it. They don't rejoice in it. So the brain just prunes it off.
Oh my.
I wonder if your brain's got circuit breakers. Man, I want to get mine so hot that they have a meltdown, don't you? Don't you want to feed so much on the Word of God, Brother Jack, that they just, I mean, it absolutely works on.
Amen, amen. You say it's crazy. No, it ain't crazy. It's the truth. The brain prunes them away, so consciously and continuously thinking, affirming that which you wish to see in your future makes sense. The more you affirm something through the thought, the stronger the wiring will be to support that which is desired. Repetition will input habit. habits in the nerve cells in your brain. This consequently governs your thoughts and behavior. That well-worn path in the meadow happened by people repeatedly walking it. Don't you see? We have made many of our paths. We have made them ourselves.
That's why we can walk them with our eyes closed. I know you don't believe me, friends, when I tell you this. But you actually feel more secure in that defeated, downtrodden, negative, beaten down, well-worn path than you do venturing out into an area that seems scary. You seem more comfortable. Why? It's a repetition. It's there. Your neurons are all connecting together. All the things that's going on inside of you. And it doesn't become as, oh my, this is nervous. This is scary. What's Brother Donnie getting us into? Oh Lord, where is he going? Heaven. Man alive, what in the world is he getting us into? Sound like to me he's really preaching far out. I am, because I am from far out. But I don't want to go with myself. I want to take some of y'all far out ones with me. But the rapture ain't for dogs. The rapture's for children. So get up out from underneath that table. Notice this, it requires discipline. Repetition to change your deepest thoughts and beliefs. There's a kind of strength achieved through the power of repeating oneself. Repetition, repetition, repetition. It works, it works, it works. Praise the Lord. You believe it? How much more room y'all got in your fridge? Let's look at a few more things tonight. He loads me daily. Psalm 68:19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. My goodness, you mean David didn't believe it was once a week on Sunday or the Sabbath day when he went to the house of God? David had such a relationship with God. He didn't have the Holy Ghost. He didn't have the message of the hour. He didn't even have a good baptism in his spirit. But David looked around and he said, my Lord is so good to me. He's so merciful to me. He loads me. Look, notice how David phrases this. He loads me. You imagine, we think in our mind, oh God, I'm loaded down every day. David said, I am too. But it's with benefits. It's with blessings. It's with joy. Don't raise your hands, but how many of you can say with David that he loads you daily? So in your thinking, was he better off than you? Was a man with an Old Testament experience and he had the Torah? 5 books of Moses? He did not have Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Zephaniah, Haggai, Malachi. He did not have the New Testament. He had the thou shalt not, and thou shalt not, and thou shalt not, and thou shalt not. I was thinking about him today. I thought, Lord, you know when to put that old boy. Because if he'd have lived in this day in the message, every message church in the country would run him off. I'm not sure Happy Valley, as wild as it is, could have put up with David. Man, if this guy carried on the way he did in the Old Testament with the Torah, can you imagine what he'd do sitting here at Happy Valley? We'd have to have a David room plumb up on the hill somewhere where David would have it wired in or piped in. My, my. Trustees constantly having to remodel the David house because he got so carried away Wednesday night hearing about the Garden of Eden. He kicked the wall down. Then on Saturday night when he ran across that about loading me daily with benefits, David had a shouting spell. And he shouted down through the bathroom and knocked the commode over. And he shouted through the kitchen and knocked the sink down. Hallelujah! If it went to him that way, what about us? But this is our well-worn path.
I'm going back to bed.
Is he loading you?
Yeah. Light bills. 2 car payments.
Don't blame that on God. Don't blame that on God because you spend more than you make. You should run for president. You'll get voted in. Just make a lot of promises. Don't blame that on God. As I say, don't raise your hand, but I'm going to ask you something. Do you recognize that God loads you? Not just barely sets one over on you so light that you can't even tell it. Man, Brother Donnie, is it burdens? It's benefits. Man, these blessings kind of got colored sister in the Lord. Come on, a real song. She said, back off, Jesus. You're going to hurt me. My, I want to be so close to her. I want to have such a relationship to her. I say, oh, Jesus, back off a little bit, Lord. You load me down with so much goodness and so much revelation and so much power and so much joy. I don't know what to do with it, Lord. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth. Now what I want you to do to be able to relate this, I want you to imagine going to your favorite buffet, if you have one. Favorite buffet. I always marvel when I go to them things. I'm not much on it myself, but I go with people who want to go. People need sideboards on them plates. They'll get chicken, they'll get three different types of taters, two different types of corn. And that's just on the salad plate. And then they go back to the dessert deal, and you ever notice they give you them little tiny things for desserts, and they go over to the big, big plate deal. Get a little ice cream, a little bit of Rice Krispie thing, a little bit of chocolate cake, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Man, they are loading down. Come on now, don't sit and look at me like you know what I'm talking about. My, they are loading down. If you could only imagine, all that stuff ain't going to do you no good, no how. But can you imagine if God wants us to be so open to the channel, so open to us, that He can load us down. I say, Jesus, I'm going to have to get some side rails on my plate. You're loading me down so much. I don't know if I can take it anymore, Lord. But Brother Donnie, that's the Old Testament. Okay, fine. Here's another affirmation from the New. He brought abundant life. St. John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And I want to ask you how many times that we do exactly what the serpent did to God in the Garden of Eden. I told you here Wednesday night, in a moment of time, he totally changed God's identity into the devil. And changed his identity into God. Can't you see what Satan tried to project to her? That God was like the devil, that he was a liar, that he was a thief and trying to rob him, and that Satan was the one who really was trying to be good to her. Now look, when Jesus comes, he identifies the devil. He said, the thief cometh not but for to steal and kill and destroy. How many things do people lay on God? A tornado come through and kill a bunch of people, and they call it an act of God. Don't you call that an act of my Father. I don't care what the insurance company calls it. That's not my God. But notice what Jesus says. I am come that they, not everybody, but the they group, which is me and some more folks that got out from underneath the table. Well, how can you say that, Brother Donnie? Because I spent many years of my Christian life under the table licking God's hand. Come on, don't sit there and look at me like that. You've done exactly the same thing. But thank God by His grace, one day I realized I wasn't no Doberman pincher. I wasn't no German shepherd. I was an attribute of God. But I have come that they might have life. And not only have life, but that they might have it more abundantly. Look at this word, beyond measure, exceeding abundantly above, exceeding some number or measure
or rank or need. Over and above, more than is necessary. Superior, extraordinary, surpassing, uncommon.
Again, I ain't talking about houses and lands and cars and clothes and shoes and motorcycles and all that sort of thing. An abundant life is not just the things you possess on the outside. Friends, I know many people around the message in different parts of the world, and they make really good money and have nice things, and they would get emails and letters from them all the time. I'd give anything. I'd give anything if I could set their Happy Valley. But I live in Canada and I can't move. I live in Belgium and I can't move. I live in South Africa. I live here and there and there. When you think of it, tell the people there how blessed they are. Not cause I'm your preacher. Not cause you're here, but because he's here. And we're simple enough to believe what he said about his word. What if he come that I can have more abundant life? More than's necessary. But it's like a lot of us are on an IV. We get saved. We think the angels found that blood vein. And they strap us down. They roll down our sleeve. And then the angel goes over to the side of our bed. And they push that little button on the IV. With just enough joy to keep you barely hanging on. Just enough peace. I'm just always on the verge of a nervous breakdown. That's a real shame. I'm always on the verge of trying to make up my mind. Am I going to church or not going to church? It's the toss of a coin. Well, it wasn't for me. The coin was already tossed. The price has already been paid. Amen. Why in the world would I want to live on the line of a nervous breakdown, live on the line of an IV, and my bag's just about to run out of joy? And my bag, look, if I am on an IV, it's tied into the river of life. Oh, glory! It ain't no little bitty trickle. It's my cup is running over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You say, I wish I could have that. Get rid of your traps. Get rid of your snares. Don't just stop saying them. Stop thinking them. Some of you think you're positive because you don't say it. You're still thinking it in your subconscious. Well, Brother Donnie, I've done what you said. Man, in a week's time, I was totally transformed. I doubt it. Ain't no way that jungle's grown up beside you and you've done cut you a new path down through there. Come on, don't be deceived. Oh, listen to this. He wants my fellowship. St. John 17:24, Father, I will. Remember that this is the only personal thing he ever asked for when he was here. I will that they also whom thou hast, past tense, given me, be with me where I am. That they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. So does this sound like somebody that hates you? Does this sound like somebody that can't stand to hear you pray? Does this sound like somebody that can't stand to be around you? When his own personal prayer, the only one that he made, Brother Ben said, the only thing that he asked for, and it was for your fellowship. He don't just want Brother Ben's fellowship. He wants mine. And I hope I don't blow you away. He don't just want it in the millennium. He wants it right now. You see, when I do get changed and I do meet him in the rapture, I ain't going to need no great big long introduction. Me and him's going to be on such speaking terms, I'll just go straight from here to that. You understand what I'm saying? I don't want me and him to be so distant and so far apart that I kind of stand and say, Lord, how you been? Boy, it's good to see you. Oh, I'm so glad to see you, Lord. Oh, wow. I want to move just from time to eternity, just like that. Listen to this one. Now remember, I haven't been to websites and looked up and looked up and looked up. This is looked up by the direction of the Holy Ghost going through the New Testament. I'm not against any of doing that sort of thing, but I think our services need to be custom fitted. He is my sufficiency. And the meaning of the word sufficiency is ability or competency to do a thing. 2 Corinthians 3:5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency. Ability or competency to do a thing. Our sufficiency is of God. Your sufficiency to be the proper kind of wife, sisters, is of God. To be the right kind of husband, to be the right kind of farmer, painter, factory worker, preacher, deacon, whatever more. I constantly rely on him, though I preach most of my life. I constantly remind him when I go through hard times here at the church. I constantly go back to him, Lord God, you're the one who told me to come here. You spoke to me, Lord, and told me to come. I didn't want to come. I did not want to leave where I was at. I was comfortable in that little church and comfortable being there when nobody hardly knew me. I liked being there. You're the one who spoke for me to come. You know what I'm doing? I'm reminding him of his word. I'm reminding him of his call and his commission to me as a minister of the gospel. And I'm reminding him my sufficiency. I can only stay here as long as you give me the ability to do it. My friends, it is not weakness on your part or my part. You sisters, you want to be married and you want to have children, but you hate cleaning your house. Go to the throne of God and say, Father, this is part of being a housewife. I don't want my kids raised up in a hog pen. I don't want my husband raised up in a hog pen. Lord God, give me the ability to be able to do this job and do it well. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Abound is like a flower that unfolds from one stage to another, to another, to another. In every good work, not just at church, but at home. The deacons, there's things they don't like about their job. There's things Brother Jimmy don't like about his job. Where is he going to get the ability? His sufficiency is not of Jim Bebb. Donnie Reagan's sufficiency is not of himself. There's things about being a preacher I enjoy. There's things about it I don't like at all. Come on, you might as well say amen, you're the same way. I don't care how well you like what you do, there's things about it you just don't like. God made it that way. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Listen to this one. I'd advise you to leave if you're still here, because we're going to wear you out, son. If you're still dumb enough to hang around, you better hit that door. Watch this. He will never overload me. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Do you understand when you're going through something and you constantly hear that voice over and over again? Nobody understands. You're the only one that's ever been this way. You better rebuke that thing quick. Because I'll tell you who that is. It's the devil trying to tell you that nobody understands, nobody relates, therefore nobody can talk to you. Because if nobody understands where you are, you can't receive help from nobody.
Come on, oh, I'll receive it from God. No, you won't, because the body of God is on the earth. God is not going to come down in an amorphe form and tell you encouragement. He will do it through His body. He will minister to you through the body. But if you cut yourself off, well, nobody understands what I'm going through. I'm the only one that's ever been here. You rebuke that devil and say, Satan, you are a liar. My brothers and sisters have been through this, and God's going to put something on somebody's heart to say to me, to encourage me. Hey, Brother Donnie, you ain't ever been through what I've gone through. That's true.
But somebody has. Either that or God's a liar. I mean, I read the scripture over and over again, and I didn't see none of your names in there except for Scott Chapman. Except for Jim Babb. He'll be going through things that nobody else on the earth has ever went through. Glory. Glory.
There is no temptation taking you, but such as is.
Don't never forget that. It's amazing how we crawl out from underneath the table from being dogs when we want to be. Do you understand? Some folks take tests and trials to give them a special notoriety. It's strange how people can view tests and trials. But it's as if, though, this special trial, because they're so special and they're so different, nobody's ever been through what they're going through. That's a lie. But somehow that gives them a special notoriety that nobody's ever been through what they're going through. Well, praise the Lord. According to the Bible, you're fighting what all the rest of us is fighting. We may fight it in different ways, Brother Jack. It may come in different approaches. But all temptations are common to man. That's the reason when Jesus came, He was tempted as a common man. He didn't have notoriety. He did not want some type of special test that's up and beyond every other mortal that would ever go through. Then He could not be the right kind of high priest. If He had some special notoriety of test, then I could go to Him and say, but you don't understand what I'm going through. And He said, well, you're exactly right. I don't. But I don't care what you go through, what I go through. It all comes back to three avenues: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And Jesus defeated every bit of that, so every son and daughter of God, He could say to them, what you're going through is common and beneath what I went through. These affirmations don't make a shout, but they'll sure help you when you get down. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Listen, Happy Valley. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. Now notice the rest of this. But will with the temptation also make a way. He won't keep it from you now. But with the temptation He will make a way for you to escape. So your Satan has laid the snare, he's laid the trap, and God don't blow the trap away. God don't just annihilate it, but God makes a way for you to escape right out of the middle of it. Your passions may be involved, your emotions may be involved, your mind may be involved, but God will make a way of escape if you want to escape. I love these escapes. Don't you? Don't you just love it when you listen to, you know, and you hate yourself about it whenever you fall into temptation? Oh, why did I do that? Why did I listen to that? And right in the middle of it, and Satan has got you in a snare, and he's got you trapped, and he's got you running behind the dungeon wall, and he's got you 45 with all kinds of passions and all types of thoughts and all types of this, that, and other. And all of a sudden, like with Peter, what did Jesus do? A deep sleep fell on the keeper of the jail. And he just and the angel come down and went, Peter, get out of here. Don't you love it right in the middle of temptation?
Oh, glory to God. Right in the middle of trouble. Why would he do it now? Why would he do it? Because he knew some of us would not thwart this off at the beginning of it when we should have. He knew some of us, Mother Skip, would go too far. He knew some of us would be actually caught into the dungeon of these things. And he said, but I'll even make a way for you then. Even when you're already caught. Even when you're so ensnared and you think there's no way for me to break loose of this thing. He said, oh, yes, there is. Because I'm going to make a way. I'll come down in the form of the pillar of fire. I'll put the jailer to sleep. I'll open the door. I'll lead you out. Praise the Lord. I'll lead you out.
Can I give you a few more? He will keep me. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. 1 Peter 4:19, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. Wow. Why not a faithful savior? Why not a faithful redeemer? Why would you want to commit your soul into the hands of a faithful creator? Think of what's being said. You are committing your soul back to where it came from. From whom? The Creator. You were with him before he was ever a redeemer. Glory to God. You were with him before he was ever manifested in the attribute of Savior. And when the attribute of Savior is consummated and the attribute of Redeemer is consummated, you will be back with him in a body expression. Back with who? The Creator. Oh, glory to God. So you commit your soul not into just a Redeemer, not into just a Savior, but the Creator of your soul. Listen to this in Jude. Verse 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. And to present you faultless. Lord have mercy. Oh Lord God. That's why I don't want no Laodicean t-shirt. I survived Laodicea. I don't want to walk over with one arm gone, my owl black, and three teeth out on this side, and big chunk gone down my leg. I made it, Lord. What do you think? Am I an epitome of victory? You know, you look like you've been in a barroom brawl. Hey, look, friends. I'm not going to barely make it. I am not going to barely make it, Brother West. I am not going to barely slide in by the skin of my teeth. You're applying that scripture out of the Old Testament in the wrong perception of an eternal work which has already been done. I and he are of the same source. He is my brother. I am of an eternal essence and an eternal quality. I am not going to barely hold on. I am not going to barely make it by the grace of God. I have already made it. He already made it for me by his grace.
I love this one here. I am his, and he is mine. Song of Solomon chapter 6, verse 3. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He feedeth among the lilies. Chapter 7, verse 10. I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. He wants me. He wants me to be an heir of eternal life. His desire
That's what I mean. He wants to share who he is and what he is with me.
Let me give you one more. St. John chapter 4, verse 14. I have living water. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now, it don't mean that he'll never want more of the water. When Jesus said he'll never thirst again. He'll never thirst again for the former water he used to drink. How can he? How can he ever want to get drunk? How can a true converted person filled with the Holy Ghost, their soul seal, and every desire, the very desire of sin gone out of their soul, how could they ever, ever go out and kill somebody and go out and commit adultery and all these sort of things? How? You make Jesus a liar. Jesus said if a man drinks out of this, he'll never want that kind of life again. He'll never thirst for that sort of stuff again. Why? He's already sealed into the presence of God. And that old conscience is dead. Hebrews 10:2, for then they would not have ceased to be offered. Talking about the sacrifices of the Old Testament. Because if the worshiper once purged shall have no more conscience. And the prophet said that word there is desire. The worshiper once purged has no more desire to sin. Brother Donnie, you saying I can't do it wrong? I didn't say that, but you won't want to do it from your soul. Amen. And as quick as you'll do it, you'll repent. Amen. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him. Look, friend, I don't come to Happy Valley. My well is not in Happy Valley. My well is in me. Don't misunderstand me. I don't have to go to Jeffersonville to get a drink of fresh water. I carry my own well. Woo! Glory to God. I said I carry my own well. Thank God for revivals. Thank God for this preacher and that preacher. But I'm glad I don't have to go to this preacher and that preacher to get a drink of water. I've got my own well springing up in me. The water that I shall give him shall be in him a well. Look at this word. Pege. A fountain, a spring. A well fed by a spring. So it's a well fed by a spring. Don't you see why a lot of folks are getting sick of the message? They're drinking out of all these message cisterns. All these preachers been preaching all this junk nonsense for years and years and years. A lot of this stuff, friend, what's going on? A lot of these websites and all this, raising up questions about stuff. Preachers have caused a lot of this. They preached for years and years that Brother Ben was infallible. This has been making in the making for years and years. God, by His grace, warned us a long time ago about it. It shouldn't shake us. But all these preachers and people have created this dilemma that they're in. And now they're finding this and this and this in the message, and they can't explain it, can't explain it. But look, our well is not in the Branham Tabernacle. Our well is not in Happy Valley. Our well is in us by the Holy Ghost. And it's not a cistern that's man-made. It's not something that's dug by some preacher and has to be pumped up by Brother Donnie. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Is Brother Donnie there this weekend? Oh, glory, I get a first day. Jesus said, the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well, which is a well fed by a spring. Now, this is a very unusual well. Notice how Jesus terms this, a well of water springing up into everlasting life. So the word springing is halomia, leap to spring up, gush up. So any of you that's ever drunk water out of a normal well, you know that a well is perfectly still and calm. How many of us had a well in your old place before you got city water? Or ever drunk out of a well? Or seen a well?
Well, you know what it is? They dig down so deep on the water table before it drops so far. They'd go down and they'd dig a hole down there, and the water table with water beneath it would run into this place because it was the least place of resistance by gravity. So it would run into that and would back the water up. I used to have a well whenever we was a kid. I went out there many a day, many a night, and draw the old bucket down and on, draw the water out, take it in the house, didn't have running water. And yet at the same time, in the summertime, that well would get low. And then we'd have to switch over to an old cistern. Glory to God, if you're the bride, you gotta get our tapes. Cistern. Hallelujah, we know who's going in the rapture. Those that's on our mailing list. Cistern. Since I was the oldest, I had to plaster that old cistern. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Some of y'all look at me like I'm from another planet. Now that cistern was a big old deep hole that was years and years old that was dug back there in the back of our old house. And they would let me down that cistern. They'd put a ladder down in that cistern. Pump the water out as much as you could get out. And then it'd go to leaking. So I'd have to get down there with plaster and this old dam type stuff they call it. Have to get down there and put up on the cracks. There was crickets down there. There was all kinds of water message. A salamander. And I'd have to let a light down in there where I could see where I was at, see what was going on. And I was probably one of the fastest cistern plasters that ever was. And then Daddy always wondered why that didn't hold up too long. I could tell him. I wouldn't, because I locked my hide too well. But I could tell him exactly why it didn't hold up. I should have known if I'd have done it right, I could have got more time. I hated going down in that hole. Oh my, that's why you ain't gonna trap me in none of these old message cisterns. And they have to come back and plaster it and tell us how to say certain words and how to say certain cliches. And as long as we say them certain cliches and we get out there with them old sucker pumps. Anybody know what a sucker pump is? A few of you? Dear Lord, am I that much older than everybody else here? How many don't know what a sucker pump is? Most of you don't know. Okay, let me explain to you what it is. It's a very complicated thing. It's a pump that's got a handle on it. It's got a little rubber gasket down on the bottom, and you pour water down it like this, and it's got a big old long tube that runs however deep your well or cistern is, and you keep on pumping and pumping. Glory to God. He set me free. Faster, brother. He set me free. Yes, he set me free. He broke the bonds. And you keep pouring water, and you hear it. Then before long, here it comes. Oh, glory! I feel it! He set me free! He set me free! And the poet song leader says, dear God, I feel like I'm dying of a heart attack. But it's so wonderful when you come in the house of God and you got folks that sit down. How you doing, Brother Well? How you doing, Brother Well? How you doing, Sister Well? Everybody's name here in the church should be Well. Oh, they ask you, say, how you doing? I'm doing well. I'm doing real well. I'm doing real well. I'm bubbling. I'm bubbling. I got a well inside of me. It's a spring-fed well. Can't you see why a person who has this, it's totally against God's law for them to ever, ever get thirsty. How is it possible for them to have a well that is spring fed and ever get thirsty? If you ever run into problems, it's only because of your tap or your supply or somehow your mind or whatever. It's not that there's a lack inside the well. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up. So even when I'm weary, my well is bubbling. Even when I'm sick or when you're down,
the well don't never shut down. Because the Holy Ghost don't have bad days. He don't ever have down days. He's always up days. The Holy Ghost always bubbles. You know, friends, when I look at these, I have mixed emotions. It makes me so happy. But in one way, it makes me so sad. Because I think, here are all these great treasures with our names on them. And how far we live beneath them. Now, these words are not debatable. They're not open for discussion. They're the words of our Lord Jesus. Now notice where this water springs. A well of water springing up into everlasting life. Already in Him. Already there. So it's not temporal. It's not based on local rains and floods and dry times. And this is not a reservoir that you save this water for difficult times. God don't need a reservoir. All He needs is a big enough cubicle inside of your heart to put a gusher. And you have your own spring-fed well. And this whole outside man may get so down and so discouraged, and your body gets so sick and so afflicted, and you become so weary with just the things of life around you. But if you can ever get alone and get tapped in to the well. Now, please don't misunderstand me. God wants you. God wants you and me to reach out to others for prayer, for help. But God never wants you to belittle that well that's in each of you as a child of God. Can I help you in ways maybe to tap it? Surely I can. Many other brothers and sisters. But the same Bible that tells us to bear one another's burdens also tells us to bear our own. So there's times we've got to bear our own, and then there's times we need help. But don't worry, I ain't going to come drilling a well. I'm not a well driller. I just help clean out the channels. If you got the Holy Ghost, He done drilled your well. Amen. And it ain't just a shaft to hold water. It ain't that you got to run the you know, off your gutters and down off this revival and that revival and run the gutters off of the youth camp and then run the gutters down off this camp and down there and try to, oh glory, let me store up every drop I can get, see if I can hold over to next Louisiana youth camp. Forget it. Get you a well. Young people, don't go to Louisiana to get your well full. Take your full well with you. Take that springing well down there inside of you. Let other young people see. You don't have to be dead around the message. You can be alive with your own well inside of you.
Oh, glory. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I pray tonight, Father, that You'd help each of us. Lord, as I've sat over the last several weeks looking at these things and pondering over them, looking through the Scriptures, thinking in my heart, how many of these have I left untapped? As Your prophet said, once we become born again, God gives us a checkbook. And there's enough checks in there to cover everything we'll ever need for our entire journey. And all we got to do is sign them. You've already put Your name on them. But the bank won't run them through unless we put our name on it and fill it out. Lord, I pray You'd help us. Dear Jesus, I, with some of these people I know, because I've heard their testimonies and things that You're doing, people in different parts of the world, I thank You, Lord. This ain't some little isolated revival for us here and we're going to hoard it up and make everybody come here. We don't want no such revival. We want a revival that's open for the bride of Christ. We don't head nothing. We don't do nothing. We're just glad to be a part of it, Lord. And we want to share the good things You're sharing with us. For it's Your goodness. Lord Jesus, help us tonight. May we take these positive things. Lord, when we're sick, when we're weary, when we're down, for those who have received the new birth, that well is springing up even when we're sick. Even when we're weary. Lord, I know even back in Pentecost, I didn't have the birth of the word on my soul, but I know I had something. Because something kept me. Something was with me. Lord, I'll never forget that night there in West Virginia, and Carol will remember it. Something attacked me there, Lord, in that little old place in the hollow where we lived. I got plumbed down in the bed. I thought I was dying. I didn't know what it was, still don't know what it was. But I told her to get her Bible and open it up to Psalms 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my strength. On and on and on. She began to read. And I began to feel that heaviness, that choking, that oppressing thing that felt like it was trying to take my life. Lord God, I felt it lift more and more and more. In a little bit, Lord God, I was feeling so much better. I'm so glad, Lord, that I learned back yonder that You were still alive. So when I come to this message and the old dead dry hides, and many of them tried to take that out of us, and they tried to capture our well. Lord, they want to dig our well and make a cistern out of it. We ain't forfeiting our well for no cistern. We ain't forfeiting our well for belonging no camp and no denominational spirit. Lord God, we're a free people, Lord. We're a free people, Lord God. We don't want no cistern here at this church. We don't want no man-made tank. Lord God, we want to drink of that living water. Hallelujah. We can't keep ourselves. You're our keeper. We're not sufficient of ourselves. You're our sufficiency. We can't do it on our own. You're the one that does it for us, Lord God. These are our affirmations. We'll make it, but by Your grace. We'll be presented faultless, but by Your presentation. We will be there holy only by Your holiness. We will be there righteous only by Your righteousness. Oh, glory to God. We are in You. We are free from sin. We are free from the law of sin and death because of what You have done for us. We are Yours and You are ours. We are bought with a price. Hallelujah. We have value in heaven. We are loved. We are cared for. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Minister to Your children tonight, Lord. Help us to pull out our machetes as it was. May we take these words. Lord, don't let them think it'll just happen automatically because they're hearing it. There'll be some work to it. They'll have to discipline themselves. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. We don't want to fall back. Well, I've always been this way. It runs in my family. That's a well-worn path of destruction and entrapment. Oh, help us, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord God. Lord, if for some of you tonight just lapping out of that old cistern of a message knowledge, and that's all they have. They know this and know that and know this and something else. That won't get us through, Lord. We want an experience of a well. A well. The woman at the well was a perfect example. She met a well at the well. Hallelujah. She met the real well at the well. She'd had five husbands, and the one she was with then wasn't her own. But boy, I'll tell you what, all them other six wasn't nothing, and she found that seventh husband. Glory to God. Lord Jesus, that's the way we were, Lord. We went from this man to that man to another man. But thank God we found the well at the well. Lord, we looked at miracles. We looked at signs. We went from one tent meeting to another and this meeting to that meeting. But one day we found the well of living water springing up into everlasting life. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we thank You tonight, and I have a real believer here in this place and around the world, those that are streaming this service, Lord, those that have experienced it right there in their living room, down in South Africa, in the Netherlands, wherever they are, Lord, they've got their own well. And it ain't an old dried up cistern sitting there of waters that failed 30 years ago. It is a well of living water. It gushes up when they are down. It gushes up when they are weak. It is fed by a spring.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You love Him, children. With all your heart. You believe these things are for you. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. But we're not the ungodly. Climb out from under that table tonight, licking the master's hands, and take the mirror of the word and look in that word and realize you're not a dog. You're not an animal. You're a human being with a soul, an attribute of God. God called you and sanctified you and gave you a birthright. Amen. We have a birthright. You remember in the Old Testament when a little donkey was born? The firstborn of his mother. Little flop-eared thing. Not need. The prophet said, and the Bible tells us in the book of Leviticus, they could redeem that donkey or break his neck. Because the firstborn belonged to God. Brother Bam said, you imagine that little old donkey in the stall after he's born looking up to his mama and said, Mama, I'm so ugly. My ears are all hanging down and my knees is all knocked together. But he said that mama was taught by the word. And she'd say, honey, the priest will never see you. The master will take a lamb and offer for you. Because you are my firstborn. And you've got the right to be redeemed. It was called the right of redemption. You are the firstborn of God, church. You stand right on the same plane with Peter and Paul and James. Every elect member that's filled with the Holy Ghost is the church of the firstborn. God don't see our flop ears and our knock knees and all of our faults and our mistakes and our failures. Hallelujah! But God received a lamb in our place. Why? Because I have the right to be redeemed. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But remember, I didn't work for a mule. A mule could not be redeemed because he was man-made, not God-created. So if you hold on to your mule religion, you don't have the firstborn right of redemption. But if you're willing to admit you're a dumb old donkey and you need help. Oh, God save me. Oh, God, I don't know nothing. Oh, God, I need a redeemer. But if you say, glory to God, I've been in a message for 47 years. What do you want, a blue star, a red star, a pink star? What do you want, some kind of credibility because you've been around for so long? I don't want to be around the message. I want it to be in me. I don't want to be old hybrid music. Glory to God, the days of miracles is past. I want to be that little donkey over kicking up his heels, running around. Glory to God, I'm saved. Hallelujah. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Glory, I'm healed. I'm redeemed. I'm saved. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pardon me for saying it, but I feel kind of drunk. I think I'm under the influence. I hope you don't stop me going home tonight. You say a preacher shouldn't say that. He shouldn't. Brother Ram said he had got the Holy Ghost and been drunk every day since.
Brother Bam said we need to get so drunk on the Holy Ghost, we don't even know what our name is.
Saying the right things. All of these things are mine.
I said they are mine. Anybody else going to claim them with me? Told Carol the other day, if I knew a place where I could buy a phylactery, I'd buy me one. You know what the phylactery was in the Old Testament? It's a little small box about this big. The ancient Jews would roll up little tiny scriptures and wear it right here on their foreheads. They'd roll up little tiny scriptures and they'd put them on the entryway to their door of their houses when they moved into the land of Canaan, and they'd take and kiss it like that. Wow, they wanted the word on the entrance going in, the word coming out. They'd wear it up here in the forehead. Oh my, we've got a greater covenant now, though. God wants to write it on the tables of our hearts. Amen. God bless you. Let's sing. I'm gonna quit. I'll be here all night. Whew. Man alive, I wish I could have seen this about 25 years ago when I was about 25 years younger. Don't you appreciate His goodness? Amen. Maybe you have a need in your life tonight. Anybody here with a need or request on your heart, would you raise your hand to God? Won't you look around now, standing by you? There's people all standing all around you everywhere. Would you lay your hand on them for me? I can't come down there and pray for all of you. If I'd have a prayer line for all of you, you'd be carrying me out of here. Whatever your need is, well trouble, physical trouble. Maybe you got that well and it's just stopped up, or maybe it's something in your body. The Lord knows your heart. Heavenly Father, hundreds of hands went up all over this place tonight. Lord, if I, their pastor, am concerned about them and the needs they have, how much more concerned are you? And Lord Jesus, we know it's not how loud we scream. I used to be of that thinking that in order to make the devil move, that I'd have to scream in a powerful, loud voice. But I've grown up some since then, and I still scream, but I've realized it's not the authority and the volume, but it's the life behind it. So, Lord, we approach you tonight as sanely and soberly as we know how. Lord God, I ask you to minister to your children. You know the needs. Maybe there's people sitting at home streaming the service. A brother and sister sitting there with their heads bowed around their computer. Lord God, their hand laid one upon the other. They got trouble in their home, their finances, maybe a job. They just lost a job, whatever it is. Father God, I ask you in the name of Jesus. Lord, as a young man sat here just a few weeks ago from another state, had physical things wrong with him for years and years. Lord, he sat here and heard this word being preached. Something dropped down inside of his heart. Left this place and went to a place and eat. Normally it would have made him so sick, but he realized it had left him. Hallelujah. You made his body obey the word. We believe you're that same God right here tonight, Lord, that can heal, that can deliver of oppression, that can deliver, Lord, if some of them are caught in snares and traps. Lord, maybe they're caught up into temptation. Maybe they've been led into relationships or affiliations or whatever more. Lord, that they shouldn't have been into, and they're so wrapped up in it and so tied up, and they think now they can't get out. But your word says you'll make a way for our escape. Lord, you're faithful not only to try to keep us out of it, but if we override that again and again, and once we get into it, you'll bring us out like you did Abraham. Abraham was the one who backslid and went down the land of Egypt. But once Abraham got down there, he couldn't get himself out. He found himself in a real fix. But you made a way of escape. Lord God, I pray tonight in the name of Jesus, may the Spirit of God go among your people, Lord. Speak peace to those troubled hearts. Speak peace, Lord, and reconciliation to that one that's backslid, Lord. Speak healing to that one that's sick, Lord. Deliverance to that one that's oppressed. That one, oh God, that their mind is in such a whirl, Lord, and they don't know how they're going to be able to make it another day. And they're hearing these things and they said, oh God, I wish I could grasp it. Make something happen right there tonight, Lord, to realize they can grasp it. May they pull out from under the table. May they quit licking your hand, Lord, and realize I am a son of God. I am an attribute of God. I'm a daughter of God. These promises are mine. Just like they're for Brother Branham. Just like they're for Brother Donnie. They are for me.
They belong to me. It is my inheritance. Grant it, Lord God. Minister to your children, Father, I pray. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, seed of Abraham, I want you to do what your father done. Brother Bram said, when God gave him a promise, he watered it every day with praise. Whatever you prayed for now, whatever you held in your heart, I want you to raise your hands and let's pour some water on that. Lord, I need a job where I can be at home. Lord, I want to be in my family. God, I need this in my home and that in my home. You see my needs for asking you, Lord. It's unselfish. Lord, you see we need to move in our finances. We need this. You see the economy's bad. But Lord God, your word says, my God will supply all of your need according to his riches and glory. Hallelujah. Oh, minister to him tonight, Lord. May that man down in the engine room begin to hear it. May we overwhelm him, Lord. May we overwhelm that first conscience till that man down in the engine room will begin to get these things. Then if any two on earth agree as touching anything, it shall be done. Oh, grant it, Lord Jesus. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We worship you tonight, Lord God. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. Sing something for us, hey. Let's worship him now, children. Let's just worship him now. Whatever the request is on your heart, take the water out of your lips and praise him. Take that affirmation of the word. By his stripes, I am healed. My God will supply all of my need. He is my peace. He is my deliverer. He is my high priest. He is my king. He is my husband. Amen. I love him and he loves me. He needs me. I need him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Have you got it?
Oh, Lord God. Lord God.
Have you got it like the Bible?
Oh, glory. Hallelujah, Lord.
Have you got it? Oh, have you got it?
Oh,
have you
yes,
got
Lord.
It like the Bible says?
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
It's a river flowing.
Hallelujah.
When you get it like
oh, yes.
the Bible says.
Hallelujah! A spring fed well.
It's a river, river
thank you,
flowing.
Jesus.
When you get it like the Bible said. Well, I got it. Yes, I got it. Yes,
oh,
I got it like the Bible said. Yes,
oh, I got it.
Full of glory when you've got it like the Bible says.
Of a river, it's drip. How you feeling?
I'm not feeling well.
Y'all look up there. I'm going to sneak over and turn up your IV while you're looking. Y'all see that? Come over.
I'm going to come over and hook that thing. I'm going to put a 440 Magnum on the other end of it.
And when you turn back around, you're going to say, supercharged. Turbo 2 Force T. Some of you might even do what the Bible said. Leap for joy. The Bible didn't say leap because you had it. It said leap for it. Jesus said, when they cast your name out as evil, be glad and rejoice. And be exceedingly glad.
Some of y'all scared right now because you don't know what I'm fixing to do. Do you? Oh, nothing. I ain't never hurt nobody as far as I ever know. I'm just happy to be saved, ain't you? Happy to have joy. Speak up. Holy glory. Well, Lord willing, in the morning, we got another servant of God's Word. And I want nobody here under the table. I want every one of you sitting at the table. I want you to reach over, get your napkin, get your silverware, all them forks and spoons and knives that you don't even know what they're for. I want you to act like you do. I want you to lay that napkin on your lap. And I want you to act like royalty. Because your name has been set there at the table. You sit there and eat. Quit licking the master's hand. Get crumb thinking out of your mind. Think porterhouse. Big old baked tater slathering in butter. Hot rolls fresh out of the oven. That butter on top with a little honey on the side. Just set there till your mouth waters. Take your knife, slice it to that steak. Put it in your mouth and say, man, this is some kind of eating. That's what your tongue was meant for. Not to lick the back of the master's hand. Can you believe it? We're dignity. We are royalty. Friends, can you accept that? We are of a royal house. Everywhere I go, all over the world, different parts of the world I've been, since Ronald Reagan was the president, people say my name. Reagan, are you kidding the president?
Carol signed our name the other day. We were someplace, and the girl looked up and said, "Are you Ken the president?" She said, "My husband is." But let me tell you something. Ronald Reagan was probably a good man. But I am kin to the king. And the good part about it is, I ain't the only one here that is. Glory. God bless you, my siblings. I just want to hug y'all. Hallelujah. Let's sing this as we go. The reason we can say all these things and believe they're true is because he came to this earth that we might live. And he said, "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." So because he lives, I can face my tomorrows. Let's sing it together. I love you in the Lord. One of these days, I'll be able to hug all you brothers and all you sisters. We'll just be able to touch one another, and we'll just embrace with a heavenly love. We'll get to spend all the time together that we want. Won't that be wonderful?
Amen.
Let's sing it together as we go. It's because he lives, the bride can face her tomorrow. Because Jesus lives, my fear of missing the rapture, it's gone. Because I know the future, and life is worth the living just because. God bless you as you go. See you in the morning, Lord willing. Because he lives, I can face